Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name.
Can we start over?
I actually want to keep
okay,
this.
Okay, fine. We can keep whatever. It's fine.
And I'm Matt. Wait, what did you think you did wrong?
I don't know.
It sounded great.
I'm so self-conscious.
I'm Matt Emmert, everyone, and that was Tim Murdoch.
That's Matt Emmert, everyone, and I'm Tim Murdoch.
And that was Tim Murdoch. I'm Matt Emmert. And
happy,
this is
happy time.
Happy. This is happy horror time. See, when we say unscripted and unpolished,
this is it.
We're here. We will never re-record an intro ever. Actually, I think that's the only time ever you've messed up.
I know. Well, you know what? I have so much going on in my brain.
In your brain? Really? Wait, please share with us. Inquiring minds want to know.
Where do I begin?
Tell us. What's
going on, Tim? I think we're in the winning stretch of the pandemic, even though we should call this the pandemic podcast.
If you listen to this podcast, you need a bingo board. Anytime Tim says pandemic, not a bingo board, you got to take a shot anytime Tim mentions the pandemic in the intro.
What number are we at? What number is this?
You mean episodes?
Yeah, 30.
This is 38.
My age.
If you do some funky math, yes.
Yeah,
finagle it. It's just so funny because when the pandemic is over, what are you going to talk about?
I don't know. I guess I'll talk about the life that I'm living.
I know. You're like, I don't know. I'll be living so much life.
No, I mean, I love doing this podcast and I love watching the films and talking to all these people. So the podcast has been such a blessing. So thank you, Matt, for doing this podcast.
Well, thank you, Tim, for starting Happy Horror Time, because there'd be no podcast to do if there was no Happy Horror
Time. You know,
Time.
I've been listening to podcasts because I walk dogs, and I was listening to Brad Gorgetsky's. Do you remember him? He was Rachel Zoe's personal assistant.
I don't know, but
it's
tell.
Okay. He had Kaylee Coco on. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big get.
Well, he also dresses them.
Oh, okay. So he has connections.
He's got connections. Hey, he dresses them. They love him.
Hey, you know what? We get classic horror stars and new people. We relaunched on Halloween of last year. And since then, we've done a bunch of interviews.
I know. I'm loving it.
There's many more to come for everyone listening.
That's right.
But like the bread and butter of this podcast, you like that? The bread and butter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is talking about movies, horror movies, because we watch so many and it's so easy to talk about them.
Yeah, because you know what? I enjoy film.
You do, but but more than just film, horror film.
That's right. I mean, I this week I did show Matt Troop Beverly Hills. I think we watched another comedy.
Did we?
I feel like we watched another movie that was like not really in our.
I can't remember the last non-horror movie I've seen. Just because
The Prom.
Oh yes, on Netflix. Oh my god. Okay, yes. I was about to say I can't remember. Yeah, that was because The Prom was a musical that I saw with my family in New York. So when they turned into a movie, I was like, I remember that. It was actually, it's just a really uplifting, fun.
Did you cry?
Movie.
I was trying not to cry in front of you.
In the musical, I cried. I didn't cry at the movie, but I mean, again, maybe it's because I knew what happened.
Oh, because it was my first time being exposed to it, and I totally enjoyed it. I love Nicole Kidman.
Hey, you know what? This podcast is not about The Prom.
You know what? I'm making it about The Prom. We're only going to talk about it.
We're The Prom. Okay, everyone. Hi. We're here to welcome to Happy Prom Time.
Prom
time. Welcome to Prom Time, bitch.
Oh, Matt, please don't cuss.
Oh, my God. That could be a line in Prom. What do you think?
Well, it was cut. I saw that Corgan said it.
No, it was good. Yes, if you're not going to watch a horror movie, Prom is good, but it really depends, because if you don't like musicals, you're probably not going to like this.
Who doesn't like musicals?
A lot of people.
Who are these people?
Mostly straight. No, actually, you know what's funny? My dad, who is straight.
Larry.
Obviously. He loves musicals to the point that he listens to the soundtracks of musicals. He is definitely a not your ordinary straight man, but he is definitely straight and he definitely loves musicals.
That's great. My dad only saw them when he had to. Well, I was in them.
I actually feel like a lot more straight men would like them if there wasn't such like a stigma on it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's so gay.
Right.
No, it's just a different art form that includes singing.
You know what my favorite kind of art is?
Painting.
Dioramas.
I thought you were going to say diarrhea.
Diarrhea is my favorite.
Diarrhea, beautiful.
Disgusting.
Dioramas.
Let's pull this podcast out of the dumpster.
You know what? Speaking of, dioramas. Actually, I used to love dioramas. We had to do one of
dinosaurs.
Well, there was that. There was also the. Did you ever do the climate ones? You had to pick like I had tundra, which is like the very wintry Arctic and climate, and there was like grasslands or rainforest or something.
Sounds like you were learning. I had to do one about the Triceratops dinosaur.
You're like, and that was senior of high school.
Mm-hmm. And I got an A.
You're like, and I graduated.
I was like, that's all you need.
That's all you need. Look, okay, so we've gone into 10 million tangents, but you know what? We are going to take, I don't want to take another
wrong turn.
Oh my God. Can you guess what the movie is that we are going to be talking about first, everyone?
Wrong Turn 2021.
So, okay, we were excited about this one because
I was so excited about
for
this.
Those of you who are not familiar with the Wrong Turn series.
What are you doing
series,
with your life?
Well, the original was in 2003. I looked that up.
Starring Elijah Dushku.
Elijah Dushku, great, great star
I
of
saw
it
opening and night at the ArcLight.
Wow, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, was Elijah right. there? Was Elijah?
She
Eliza?
Was there and she's like, this is True Lies.
And she was like, but you got to have faith
right?
for me on Buffy. Mm-hmm. Get it?
And
get
she
it?
Also said,
I live in a dollhouse.
She goes, bring it on.
God, wow, these are good references.
That's all I got.
Well, anyway, Wrong Turn spawned about, what, 6 sequels?
I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say 7. But, you know, I don't...
Dude, that is crazy. No, it became, though, very much a, like, straight-to-DVD type of series that was all about, like, ridiculous over-the-top gore. Whereas the first one...
Great movie.
It was a great movie. I mean, people take a wrong turn, and it's like they're hunted by these backwoods inbred cannibal type figures.
Yes,
I guess it was
very
yes. Deliverance-y, but without the rape.
It was
oh, God.
But I think it was attempted. I mean, there was some
in Wrong Turn
in all of them. I mean,
oh,
like
yeah,
because they're in all yeah. the Wrong Turn films, it's people taking a wrong turn in a small town, and the small town doesn't talk about what's in the woods, and everyone's protecting the crazy people in the woods.
Yeah, well, but it just got to, it, you know, as a lot of series do, it kind of lost its luster.
It really did.
But I mean, the last one was a number of years ago, and so we heard that this was called a reboot, you know, which is very
popular. Reimagining.
Well, but I feel like... But reimagining it, well, yeah, I guess it was a reimagining because it's like they wanted to reboot the series and kind of reimagine it, but it wasn't like a sequel, meaning it like this could exist
yeah,
in its
I
own
mean,
universe.
Yeah, it's definitely a standalone movie. You don't need to see any of the other ones prior. And in fact, I think it's better if you don't.
Yeah, well, the truth is, though, it was written by the writer of the original Wrong Turn.
Is
so
that
I was
right?
very excited. Yeah, Alan McElroy.
You know what? Go back to what works.
Yeah, well, but what happened is that so I didn't even know this going into this movie. I was expecting that it was going to be, you know, just like a more modern day version of the original. No, very much not. And in a good way.
No,
I
totally enjoyed it. And I love that they had Matthew Modine.
So just to like kind of introduce the plot, it starts actually with Matthew Modine, who is
older.
Yeah, I know. And you're thinking, is he the main star? No, his daughter has gone missing. And the last that he knew of, she was going hiking. Big surprise on these Appalachian trails on like a backpacking trip with her boyfriend and a bunch of friends. And throughout the movie, right after that, it kind of flashes back and you see what ended up happening to her and her friends. But Matthew Modine he's an integral part of it, but it's like a father that's going to look for his missing daughter, which I will say in
it's
all
a
the
very
wrong
simple
turns,
premise, and
I've
I
never
love
seen
it.
That. Like they usually just show what happens. There's nobody looking for the, like, have you ever seen a wrong turn where anybody goes
no, but you
looking?
Know what's really interesting. Only one parent was looking for the kids.
Yeah, I know. Like,
just first, Matthew Modine.
She's in a group with 6 people, and I guess only one parent cared.
And
they've
know,
been gone for like 6 weeks,
I think.
He didn't
text any of the other parents like, hey, have you seen my daughter?
Yeah, good point. I didn't even think about that. You know what I found to be funny? So I will say they did a good job, slash, it was a little bit hitting
slash.
Over the head with trying to make the group very diverse.
Okay, so wait, we need to set this up because yeah. the original Wrong Turn, it was just a beautiful white cast. This has...
Very, very bland white cast. Yes.
Right, so this has the lead girl, her boyfriend's African-American, there's two gay guys.
A gay couple, yes.
And then
There's the token straight couple.
Yes, I think there's two.
Well, yeah, it's so there's like a mixed racial couple, straight, a white straight couple, and then a gay couple, and I think both were people of color. So they really, I mean, and again, I am all for diversity, of course. I mean, representation does matter. I think it just did it feel a little too heavy-handed, almost like, because they even talked about it. Remember when they were at that bar, they were like, well, I've done this and this
person. That was the only scene that I didn't particularly care for, because they were basically saying, like, I mean, it was like, it was just so heavy-handed, like, do not forget, we are different from 2003.
Well, and they were also making fun of the people in the town they were at, because they're like, you know, we basically are, like, progressive this, and these are, you know, conservative, traditional. And again, I am very, very much more like them, but it was, it just, that part felt a little bit like, okay, we get it. Like, yes, it's a diverse group and it's great, but you don't have to like hit us over the head with reminding us they're diverse.
They're woke.
Like, I almost feel like it takes away from the normalcy of just having a diverse group if you keep mentioning
it,
you know?
It's just,
hey, everyone, we're diverse.
Right. Just have it be and don't acknowledge it.
Exactly. It's just like with having gay characters and not having to mention, hey, we are gay. No, they're just normal people that are in.
They didn't really, that one.
That one was more normal. I mean, they did talk, I think they talked about like one of them didn't want to hold the other one's hand in front of those,
the
town, which I understand.
Truth be told, in all my relationships, I was never a big hand holder.
Really? No. I love holding hands.
Just because, like, I and this is no shade to Ohio, but I grew up in Ohio and I never saw it. So I
Is it, so it's a fearful of holding a man's hand or just not being an affectionate person?
Oh, no.
Or being a cold hearted person like
you
are.
I'm a cold hearted bat.
You are a cold hearted snake. No. Oh, okay.
No,
so it's
no,
like a
I think
fear.
It's just because I didn't have. I don't want to say role models, but I didn't see it growing up. So I just, it wasn't part of my normal day to day.
I mean, you live in West Hollywood.
Sure.
You should be like wearing rainbow boas jumping around.
How? That's a stereotype.
I know. And I'm sure everybody in West Hollywood is going to get out their boa right now and raise
you know,
it up.
I would wear a boa.
I actually think a rainbow boa would be great. And I love West Hollywood. So there's absolutely nothing wrong
absolutely.
With that. I love West Hollywood.
I'm wearing one right now, but you can't see it.
I only live like a little bit south of there. So
listen, you don't need to tell everyone where you live.
I know. Hey, everyone, my address is. Okay. But anyway, so getting back to the plot. So you see what happens, like they are backpacking and they've gone to a very, you know, I guess a backwoods type of town.
Small,
talk about going hiking.
Town.
People are warning them, don't go off the track, you know, blah, 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 blah. You're going to get, you know, the townsfolk are not happy with these progressive
woke
people.
And they stay one night before they start their journey at like a, what is it? Like a house?
Airbnb?
No, it's like an old-timey hotel.
Yeah.
And so she does say stay on the trail.
Yeah. So, of course, they go hiking. And what is the first thing they do, Tim?
Wrong turn.
Oh, I was going to say go off the
trail.
Well,
they do go
off
the trail. And by the
way, it's her boyfriend. So the main girl, just so we don't have to keep saying main girl, her name is Jen. And her boyfriend, Darius, is...
Darius, by the way, was on The Bold and Beautiful for 1 year.
And he's very good looking.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's very good looking.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't think he was... I mean, the show is The Bold and the Beautiful, but he played Xander. I didn't particularly... I think it's just because he's younger and I'm into older men.
How young is he? He's got to be, well, I guess, 20s, 30s,
too
20s.
Young.
Okay,
too
well,
young.
Yes. Too young to date, but old enough to look at and not feel creepy.
Correct.
Okay, good. So he takes them off the trail because what do you do when people tell you to stay on the trail? You go off the trail. I think he said something like, either was a shortcut or something beautiful to see. The two dumbest things to say that always lead
and
you astray.
And let me just say this. He would have saved everyone's life if they would have stayed on the trail.
Well, and that's the sad thing because so they go off the trail and I think the first thing that happens because it's obvious that people are watching them in the woods. And so there's this great scene.
I think it's the best scene in the movie,
this
by the way.
Huge log just comes rolling down
it
at
is
them.
Huge.
And it's obvious that it just naturally didn't fall. They're not on a mountain. There's no avalanche. But so someone or people have launched this huge log. So the best part is they're all trying to run, trying to get away from it. a bunch of them get off to the side or hide under one of the guys.
And they're getting cut up.
The poor gay guy gets stuck next to a tree, and the log slams him in the face and crushes him to death.
It is so violent. And you know what? The thing, if it was CGI, I couldn't even tell.
I think when you see him at the end crush, because they do show him, it was obviously a cast because like that wasn't CGI. I think they built like some
sort of
cast.
Oh, yeah. That was like actual makeup and smashed face.
I thought it was a great scene. I've never seen anything like that in any horror movie.
No, I don't want to say I was blown away, but I was blown away.
It was a pretty shocking start. And so, of course, they're all shaken up. The guy's boyfriend is incredibly upset.
Distraught. Rightfully so.
And rightfully so angry at Darius, who I would fucking be angry too, because you're the one, hey, come on this shortcut.
Right.
So, and then, but the funny thing is, so now they are, but they get
they're
a little
stuck.
Bit of peace and quiet because they're trying to then find their way back to trail, which of course they can't.
Mm-mm.
And they do go to sleep for one night, and when they wake up the next morning,
which
one
I
of
don't
the
know
girls,
how they could, any of them could sleep,
I know,
because
exactly.
They lost a friend.
Well, first off, they left his body there, and his boyfriend was not happy about that. He's like, we got to take them. They're like, no, we can't hold them. You know, let's just leave our friend
well,
here.
Well, he was also
crushed. Yeah, I know. but you know who was also crushed? His boyfriend. Emotionally.
Absolutely.
So they go, and so they wake up this next morning, and one of the girls, not the main girl, but the other girl is missing. And they're like, oh my God, did she get kidnapped? What? He was a little bit aggro,
her
boyfriend.
Yeah, he was tall.
Not Jen or Darius, but the other heterosexual male,
who,
her boyfriend,
by the way, was just spewing toxic masculinity
a lot of toxic masculinity, but you know, he was very angry, very aggro, and like he's like, gotta find her. So they go to try to look for her. They don't know what happened to her, and there's this one another good scene where he, the aggro male, gets his like foot caught in some sort of trap and gets dragged into some hole, and he just disappears. And you're like, what the fuck? And again, all of this, I'm like, oh, he's in there. At this point, I still thought this movie was about, like inbred cannibals. So I'm like,
right.
Oh, shit, well, he's gone, right?
Right.
Oh,
so
no.
they debate whether or not to go into the hole and pull him out. And then they really quickly decide, like, let's go on.
I know. And
they're
I
like,
was just like,
go.
How do you leave your friend? Like, you don't leave your friend. But they decide to leave. But then they... This was very weird that they see two people with huge, how do I describe this? Like
they're
deer
like
masks?
Bull heads?
They have like animal mask or heads.
Huge horns.
Carrying their friend
on a stick.
On a stick, attached to a stick like he's a pig about to be roasted.
Yeah.
And so this is where I was like, okay, at least they stood up for him. They run and attack the guys, get him loose. But then the aggro male who's gotten
loose.
He
gets loose, takes a huge stick, takes one of them out, but then continues to bash his face in.
Now, I get it. At this point, I didn't feel sympathetic for the people with the animal mask.
Oh, but
there
was a reason he did that.
No,
because
no, no,
his girlfriend was missing.
Well, he thought, number one, that his girlfriend had been killed by them, and that, number two, that he was going to be murdered by them. It turns out right after he bashes one of the guys with the mask skulls
like,
in, the girlfriend comes back
hey,
and is like, hey, guys, I was just
that?
Going to the bathroom. Hey. Or she was like, oh, I saw them just hiding. Hey, what's up? What are you doing?
She's terrible. I mean, she's like, oh, my God.
And she's like, what did you do? And he's like, where were you? And she's like, I was just hiding because they came in. So the other guy with the animal mask disappears. So basically they've now murdered someone.
Right,
now,
so now
granted,
they're murderers.
At this point, though, as a viewer, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, they're taking him on a stick. Were they
3-hour
kill him?
Tour?
Was this all like completely misconstrued? Well, now he's a murderer, and they're like, oh my God, you know, we got to get away. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but they're running, and I know the girl who was missing at first falls into a hole, another trap set by these people,
with
and
spikes.
Gets impaled.
That was disgusting, and totally. I will say I was unexpected because I thought. I knew it was a one by one they were going to be off.
But at this point, everything was very confusing because, again, he murdered one of them before you even know if they had done anything, even though you assume they're the ones who threw the log at them. girl falls in his pit, gets impaled. But the best part is she's like, it's just so sad, but I couldn't help but laugh a little. I don't know if you, she's like, please, dear boyfriend, don't leave me. He's like, I'm going to go get help. I'm sorry. Anytime you say you're going to go get help, you never get back in time person dies.
Here's the thing, not to sound cold, but.
You would have left the bitch too.
No, well, yeah, no. You're terrible. No, but I mean, like, there's no way you could survive this.
Well, no. And I think what was so sad is that she's impaled by like 7 spikes. And so her boyfriend knows there's no way to save her. And I don't know if he just said, I'm going to get help just to be nice, but I don't know. I feel like if you love someone, then just sit there with them while in their last moments. But Right. Nope, he leaves.
No, there's just no time.
And right after he leaves, who comes back up but one of the people with the animal mask on and shoots an arrow through her head to kill her. Remember?
Oh, did they show that?
Yes. Oh, they didn't show. Right. He shoots the arrow. You don't see it go through her head, but like obviously it kills
her.
Now,
insinuated.
There's a part of me, again, I was still a little confused at this point. I was like, were they kind of like granting her mercy? Because obviously she's suffering on these spikes, but everything's a little gray at that point. Even though you know the people with the animal mask are the bad guys, they haven't, you know, obviously done anything
right
bad
yet. Like, they're still wearing masks. Like, we don't know who they are, what they are, but we
know,
like,
maybe there's some creepy society that just wants to live in peace. You don't know yet.
Right, we don't know, but of course we suspect, because it's Wrong Turn and we've watched 7 movies about it, that we're like, okay, well, these people are cannibals, right?
Exactly. And you're thinking also, I was waiting for like creepy inbred, like,
and they like yell at each other,
or yell at each other and look like they have deformities or something.
They all look like Chuck from the Goonies.
Oh my god, Chuck, you mean Sloth.
Sloth. Oh, that's right. Oh my god, I'm
oh,
horrible.
That is awful. You just
listen,
fat-shamed.
I meant
Chunk.
Chunk hung out with Sloth.
Tim,
but I
did
meant
not
Sloth.
Mean they were overweight.
Oh,
Tim
dear.
Was referring to the wrong.
You know,
character.
He's a lawyer now.
Well, good for him. You know. Yeah. Well, anyway, so they finally get captured by the
it's
people.
The
right?
The gay guy and the main couple.
It's the gay guy, the main couple, and the aggro male.
Right, and they all get captured.
Yes, they get captured by the people, and they get captured,
and this is where the movie takes a really weird turn.
Yeah, so they all get taken back to this village, and
it is
you
a
see,
village.
Well, but you see, they're normal human beings. And when I say normal, I mean they're not like inbred deformed people. They look like normal human beings. So I guess meaning if you're expecting the people like the Hills Have Eyes type people from the other Wrong Turns, no, they're just a village. They're called the Founders. Or I think it was the
Foundation.
The Foundation. Yes, so, it's like an early village or something like that. And they put all of them up in their own little kangaroo court, like a little trial.
They look like they look like pilgrims.
Yes,
I mean, they look like
or like
old,
an
tiny,
like, yeah, like an Amish
like,
type of thing.
Did you see Back to the Future 3?
Of course,
it looks kind of like that.
Like 1800s Wild West.
Looks, I mean, but not the Wild West aspect. But I mean, just like old timey.
Oh, okay. I mean, yes. I think wrong time period. But yes.
Yeah, listen, I'm not good with dates.
They look like the Wild West. People are like,
well,
what, like the
I
OK
mean,
Corral.
They look like pilgrims.
They did look like they look
like they live off the earth.
Yes, they look like pilgrims. Definitely not Back to the Future 3.
It's Back to the Future 3, it's basically.
Maybe Back to the Future 4 when they went back to the pilgrims.
There's no such thing.
Well, anyway, so they put him up to court, and they're basically putting the 4 of them on trial for the murder of the guy that the aggro male killed. And they ask the girl, they're like, you're the only one we're going to speak to. You're the only one to speak. Did he kill our, you know, townsperson?
Oh, and there's another girl that's like, don't lie.
Well, yeah, and she made the mistake where the main girl, Jen, says no. Now, I remember thinking at this point, they already you're caught by these crazy people that you don't know what they're going to do. At that point, I think they're going to know if they're lying and they said don't lie. I would say yes in self-defense. You know what I mean? Like, or like,
right.
Because right away,
save your friend.
They come up and they say they know she's lying. And now they've not only sentenced the aggro guy to death, but they've sentenced the other 3 for lying to darkness.
But we forgot a big important part. Remember what happened to the guy?
Well, no, that came next.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
we didn't forget it. It came next.
Don't forget that guy bashed that other guy's face in. So they decide to bash his face in.
Yes, they decide that when they're going to put him to death, they are going to do a very archaic eye for an eye type of.
And that's when how the did courtroom.
He they ask, well, they well, they ask the girl how he died. And of course, that's the answer she gives truthful. And she says, I think like blunt force or something. So, and I'm sure the aggro guy's like, thanks a lot. Well, they showed he bashes. This is like Walking Dead style.
It was gross.
Bashing his head in. Very sad. Didn't love that guy character. Didn't want him to get his head bashed in, though. So he's dead. And now you're wondering, what the hell is darkness that the other three are being sentenced to? Well, you find out because they take them to this, like, entrance to, like, this cave area. And they proceed to the poor gay guy. They proceed to blind him with a, like, fiery torch. Like, they put the torch into both of his eyes.
So they can't see.
It is awful. No anesthesia.
No, here, this is happening.
Yeah, it's basically, it's almost like a branding iron on his eyes. And then they kick him into this cave by himself. Apparently that's darkness. So
Jen, the smart one, like, talks her way out of it. And then, like, the boyfriend, he, like, you think he's tricking him, but he says, like, you know, yes, let's be part of this society.
Well, yes. What happens is that right before they're going to blind Jen and her boyfriend, Darius, she says, wait, we can be better used to you in your society, will work for you, you will do this. And she convinces them not to blind them and set them to darkness, but to basically include them as part of the foundation.
She says, I can have children.
Yes, she says she can have children, and he is work for a nonprofit, so he knows,
and
like,
by the way, this judge, and I think he, like, rules the whole town.
Yes.
He does kind of look like a caveman, but he has a modern-day haircut.
His name is Venable. That was his name.
Venable has a modern-day haircut. It looks freshly cut.
That was funny. It's like, hey, we're living in such, like, archaic times, but I have a beautiful, like, very 2021 haircut.
Yeah, so I was, like, a little taken out, but, oh, excuse me, my voice.
Demi
Moore.
I'm suffering so much. So anyway, the girl has to basically be Venable's wife and sleep with him, which is awful because she doesn't want to. She's being forced
to
do
it. But, you know, he was kind of sexy.
Was he?
I don't know. You know, pandemic times.
Darius, one of them, works with the town. So anyway, it flashes to Matthew Modine, and he has now found the town that they were in, and he hires some people to help him go on the trail, which he knows they disappeared.
I loved everything about this because he gives them $5,000. He gives these two guys and, like, yeah, we'll take you into the woods.
Okay. And they get killed, like, immediately.
So I was like, oh my God.
It was so funny. You're totally right. He's like, here's your money. Like, thanks for taking me on this trail. Like, dead.
They get into
traps.
The woods. Some kind of Rambo thing, like, has spikes. They fall in a hole. They die.
Literally crushes both the brothers right in front of
Matthew Modine,
right after he hired them.
He's on his own.
Of course, it's like, you need to, of course, have the father on his own. So what happens? He stumbles into the town. I'm trying to kind of speed this up. But here's the shocking part. When he stumbles into the town looking for his daughter, he gets shot with an arrow. And then you suddenly see the daughter has shot him. And it looks almost as if she's been brainwashed in the few weeks that she's been a part of this town. And she and Darius look like they're dressed like the Foundation. They're acting like they don't even recognize him. Like, and you're like, oh my God, did they get brainwashed
but
that quickly?
But guess what? Jen has a plan.
And overnight, they're keeping Matthew Modine because they're going to probably sentence him to darkness.
That's right.
And Jen, who was just pretending, sneaks out and helps him escape. But it's not that easy.
Oh, and then she actually, the boyfriend, this is the big twist.
Yes.
The boyfriend, Darius, he's like, you know what? I actually really like this atmosphere. I'm going to stay.
Yes. I was like,
have fun with that. Me and my dad are out of here.
I know. I would be like, and she's like, okay. Like, you're part of this town for a few weeks, and suddenly, hey, you know what? Forget life after college. Forget, like,
because this works.
Forget the internet. Forget any sort of technology. Hey,
toilet, running water, hot showers.
But hey, and you know, murder people mercilessly, but hey, it's cool.
That part was fine.
Yeah, but so it's just up to Jen and her dad, and they, you know, of course, as they're escaping, you can tell that Jen has become really tough in her time
with
this place.
She's like suddenly Rambo.
She's fighting. Like, some of the people come after her, and she just fucking kicks ass.
Which, I mean, again, how long were they there?
I think he said, Matthew Modine, I think, said it had been like 6 weeks since he had heard from her.
Wow.
Which, again, how are not the other parents concerned?
They don't have time. They just don't have time.
Exactly. So, anyway, I want to get to the end because it was such a good ending. Like, they finally escape, and it's Jen and Matthew Modine.
The movie keeps going. It's like back to reality.
Yes, they're back in their families. She's living with the dad. She has a stepmom and two stepbrothers, and you see her in her normal life, and she's working for her dad, and you think everything's gonna be okay, right? Well, of course, there's a little final scene. She comes home and she sees.
Well, we forgot something.
What?
She's pregnant.
Oh, yes. Yes, she's pregnant. So obviously, being raped and whatever by Venable, she's now pregnant and she's chosen she's going to hold. Well, she comes back to see that Venable has found her and is sitting at the dining room table with her stepmom and stepbrothers. And they have no idea who he is. They're just like, I forget what they say.
They do like a little cheap shot and they give us like a dream sequence or what could have been, which was effective.
Yeah, Venable, basically, she goes and speaks to him and says, I will go back with you if you leave my family alone and never bother them again, like leave them safe. And he agrees. And so she's starting to walk out and you're thinking, is this movie really going to end with her having to go back with these horrible people?
It would have been so depressing.
I remember thinking, but here's the best part. The ending credits start rolling as she's getting in the car with them, and you're like, are you fucking kidding me?
It was a huge, camper trailer.
Yes, yes. And you're thinking, oh my God, after all that she did to escape, she just has to go back with them. What a depressing movie. No, continue watching, and I've never seen this done. I've seen little sequences after credits or little cut-ins, but as the ending credits are going, do you want to describe this?
Yeah,
this
and so great. It stops, starts, and kind of goes back and forth and kind of shakes.
Oh,
so
you talk about the camper.
Yeah, the camper. Yes. And then all of a sudden, the door flies open.
Venable.
He dies. She takes him out.
Obviously, when she got into the camper, she has taken charge of it. She stabs Venable, and
then
someone else is running away.
She stabs him, too.
She throws the knife, and it hits him in the back.
And then she takes that knife, and she goes back and just to make sure Venable's dead and stabs him over and over and over and over and over and over.
It is so, as gory as it is, it was so fulfilling.
Satisfying.
Yes, because obviously this tough-ass chick who is being taken back against her will by these men, she obviously took over the entire camper and she just massacres them.
I loved it. And then there was another little girl
there was a little girl.
Well, I'll take you too. I'll
yes.
take you home.
Well, she doesn't. Yeah. So the very last shot is she's holding hands with the little girl and walking back to her family's house. So obviously she's going to be okay and she's taking them out.
The end.
It was, yeah. I mean, I thought it was an amazing ending scene, but all in all, I really liked this movie.
Me too. I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a family sit around on Christmas Eve movie, but it's good.
family, now that we've sung carols and exchanged gifts, anybody want to watch
Wrong Turn? At my house, there was one Christmas, I'm not even joking, we watched Orphan and Paranormal Activity.
See, now that would be my type of Christmas.
That was awesome.
But I kind of do the same with my family because, my mom and my sister love horror movies, so that's our type of thing. But that and Hallmark Christmas movies.
Right, right, right.
But
Candace Cameron.
All, this is what I'll say. You know how there's some movies that get hyped up.
Are you trying to say all in all?
All in all, yes. There are some movies that get so hyped up that even if they're really good, it's just okay, well, that's what the hype was. It's Hereditary, or Quiet Place. People are hyping them up so much that okay, yeah, they were good. Great. This one, I don't know if there's much hype around it, and I wasn't expecting much because it was Wrong Turn, and it blew my expectations
same.
Away.
And I read that it was filmed in Ohio, so I was excited about that. So, I mean, I love the original Wrong Turn. I love it. And so, yeah, I was totally into it.
I was just, yeah, and that's the thing. I highly recommend it. It was not $19.99 to rent. It was only $5.99.
Yeah, and it's playing in theaters. I mean,
oh, is it?
Yeah, I actually looked. It's making money. It's not playing in many theaters, but...
But I will just say, whether you've seen the Wrong Turn movies or whether you haven't, either way, you'll like this. Because even though it's not just like the other Wrong Turn movies, it's better.
Yeah, no, it's great. The cast is glossy. The movie's shot well. I loved it.
And the performances are well. And it's some... I don't know if it was terrifyingly scary.
No,
because they're just, it's more just disturbing but entertaining. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's, it has its gross moments for sure, but you also get Matthew Modine.
You get Matthew Modine and a hot young cast.
And
Yeah. Yeah, but it was just, I just highly recommend it. Like, I feel like it's been getting either at least mixed or good reviews. Like, I haven't heard anyone pan it. And so, I don't know. I was just very impressed.
I wouldn't even mind a sequel.
A Wrong Turn 2?
I mean, Wrong Turn 2, 2022.
I mean, they may, like, here's the thing. They may
start all over.
I would wonder, do you think they would continue with the whole foundation?
I mean, it's an interesting thing, but now that it's already been done, move on.
But hey, they did 7 versions of Inbred Cannibals.
I know. You and I saw quite a few of them.
We did, and they got worse and worse.
There's,
but,
like, one that sucked. Anyway, we have to move on to the next one.
Yes, I mean, we spent a long time on that, which deservedly so,
yes,
though,
yes.
I think.
Because, you know, it's a time where not much is out there.
Wait, Tim, so would you say that it took a right turn?
That's right. Oh,
thanks. Oh, wow. That, there it is, everyone. It took a wrong turn, makes the right move. I could just see all
dumb the
headlines.
Right moves.
Something like that.
That's not a real song, so I can sing it.
Okay, cool. So the other movie that we're going to talk about, it was not as well known as Wrong Turn. It's a movie called Sun.
And hey,
not,
Sun!
Not S-U-N, S-O-N. And I got to be honest, what attracted me to this movie, one main thing, it starred Andy Matichek, who just happens to play Allison Strode in the new new Halloween trilogy. And of course, because I'm obsessed with Halloween and love Halloween and love Jamie Lee Curtis, and she plays her granddaughter, I was like, oh, she's in another movie. Gotta see it.
Me too. I don't think I'd have any interest unless it was her.
Well, that's the thing. I knew it was some sort of, I remember seeing the trailer thinking, is this like Rosemary's Baby / like, I don't know. It just,
well, on the poster, is she's hugging a little boy, and is there blood coming out of his nose? Is there blood?
Yes, there's blood coming out of his mouth.
Oh, mouth. Okay.
And I had heard, I saw, because I follow Andy Matichek. Shout out Andy Matichek.
That, she's like, listening.
She was promoting this movie because, you know, while we wait for Halloween Kills, this came out, and I've got to say, so watching it, well, I'm trying to think, let's set up the plot. Like, it's obvious that she is escaping something. Yeah, it flashes back to she's escaping something, someone pregnant, and she gives birth in her car while saying, like,
I hate you.
Yeah, like, no, I didn't want you.
That's right, I didn't want you.
Yes, I'm sure every baby would love to hear that as they come out.
Right. And I still remember my parents were like, I guess.
They're just like, kidding. Okay, we'll take it. My parents always say, so the word Matthew, or the name Matthew, means gift from God, and my parents would always joke, we never got the receipt or something like you know. You're like, Larry, Phyllis.
Listen, you know what? That's like Bob Hope humor.
Well, you know what? I think my parents like Bob Hope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe I'm probably quoting wrong. Maybe it was, you didn't come with a receipt, or what's the give back policy? I don't know. I am the worst joke teller. I also like to accent things on the wrong syllable. Anyway, back to Sun.
Yes,
Tim?
Yes.
She gives birth to the Sun.
Yes,
you're ready
to
rate it.
Well, no. First off, before she gives birth, she's in a diner, and it's raining, and she's covered in mud, and like, she looks like, oh, she's barefoot. Gross.
Yes, it's obvious that she escaped somewhere, and you're wondering, like, is this like
so two
some
men
sort of
come
cult?
In, she's out. And then she goes to have a baby in her car.
And say, I never wanted you.
Yes.
Flash forward, it's like, I think 10 years or something, and she's living with her son, and it's a cute, like, boy who's, like, very, he reminded me of the kid from Room. What's his name? Jacob Tremblay, whatever, because he's, like, he's one of those kids, cute kid with, like, long hair, like, probably smarter than he should be.
Panic,
like,
Room? That's Kristen Stewart.
No. God, no. No, the kid from Room with Allison.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's
a great
big Oscar movie,
movie,
right?
And he was a great performance
no,
as, like, a kid.
No, I probably should check into that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, you think that things are kind of good for them. It's just a mom and a son. You don't know who the dad was, but whatever. Until one night, she think she hears something in the kid's room.
This is disturbing. So
this was a scary scene. Yeah.
This was scary. So she goes down to the hallway and opens the door, and there's like all these town folks in the room, and then she screams, calls 911, and then does she cross the street to the neighbors?
Well, yes, but of course when anybody comes to look, there's nobody there. Right. And at this point as a viewer, you're wondering,
was there a whole town of the boys? Yeah,
it looked like there's like 8 or 10 just creepy looking townsfolk in there, but you're wondering, is she like
delusional?
Is she imagining things? Because first off, how do all those people get into the kid's room and escape? And there's like,
and then stand there awkwardly when she opens the door.
Exactly. So one of the cops on the case is, of course,
Emil Hirsch,
which was a surprising person to see in this
movie. He always reminded me of like Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, God, I just
like,
feel like
Leonardo DiCaprio's lesser successful brother.
Yes. No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, were they like buddies and used to hang out? Are they part of the Leonardo DiCaprio posse?
No idea. I mean, I remember Emil Hirsch from The Girl Next Door with Alicia Cuthbert.
Right, and Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what I remember him in, or an Alpha Dog, which was a disturbing movie.
Stone's in that.
Is she?
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, she's the mom. Oh, my
God.
That's
my takeaway.
Well, it was a disturbing movie. But he's just like, I always thought that he's...
Where's he been?
I always thought that he was in more like obscure type movies. And I guess I didn't see him as like a... I guess, I don't know when
he's
when I say mainstream.
Man.
I don't say even horror person. I've never seen him.
And he was supposed to be like a cop, but he could still pass as like a college student. I don't
know.
Yeah,
well, anyway, he's obviously taken interest in her. And you can see there's sort of like an attraction between him and... Andy Matichek. But what happens is then weird things happen, like that her son gets incredibly ill and they has to go to the hospital, and he has all these like purple blood, almost like Ebola looking patches on his skin, and doctors have no idea what is ailing
him. Right. So then like he gets released.
Yes, he gets released and he's suddenly
after
okay.
2 weeks, they're like, and she was like, I can't believe you don't know what's wrong with my son.
And they're like, COVID. And that was the beginning of the pandemic. Movie over. It was a precursor.
You know what? I was hoping you'd never bring it up.
Take a shot if you're listening. No. So you're wondering, okay, what the hell is wrong with her son? All this stuff. You know, and again, as a viewer, you're thinking, obviously this relates to her past, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, he gets sick again and go into the hospital. And, you know, it's like he's like... he's almost like craving something and he's bleeding and in pain and
it
she doesn't know what
disgusting.
To help him. It's disgusting. But finally, she breaks him out of the hospital because they're not helping him. And there's this scene where the neighbor.
Oh, no. She can't go into her house. So she drops the son off at the neighbor's and she's going to run back to her house to get her stuff.
Yes, because she can't go in the house because she's broken him out of the hospital and she knows people are going to be
right.
looking
so
for them.
So then she runs back to the house. She looks in the window and like all like the furniture and lamps are all knocked over. And she's like, well, this can't be right.
And then she proceeds to find her son eating
Susan.
The neighbor.
So Susan.
Poor Susan is literally, her whole stomach is open and he's just chowing down on her.
Which is disturbing. So the mom decides to take some of the blood-soaked Susan and like, right, he is coming?
Yes. And at this point, I think we forgot, but she mentions to the cop she had been in a cult. So you're thinking she'd escaped from a cult. But the thing is that you don't know, A, who the father of her son is, and B, why he is a demon.
And C, this is where you call the cops and say, my son's eating
people. My son's eating people. Exactly. But the funniest part is that after he's eaten the person, he feels great.
And his
he
skin
doesn't
comes
remember
his
anything.
Skin is glowing.
He's glowing. He's so happy to be with his mom. Isn't talking about the fact that he literally cannibalized their poor
right.
neighbor.
The mom and the son never have that conversation.
Well,
like,
no,
mom,
I mean, well,
I
the son
people?
Doesn't even understand it. I don't think he remembers it when he's in that state. The mom knows, and at this point, she obviously makes a conscious decision that she's going to support her son in this because obviously, like Tim said,
there are other ways,
money. She could have easily like turned him over to, but she realizes, okay, he needs to eat people to be okay. So she proceeds to take him on the run with her. Not sure what her plan.
Yeah, I don't think she has one other than.
Get away.
I think she loves her son.
Yeah.
I think when people are in that situation, which I've been in many times.
With all your children.
With all my children.
All my children.
Susan Lucci. that you just do what you have to do just to stay alive.
Well, I think it's to protect your kid. I think I don't want to jump to what the message of this movie is, but what I will say the message of this movie is obviously that, like, some parents will do absolutely anything for their kids, even if their kids are demons.
Or and, like spoiled and they want more cake on their birthday.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly what it is.
That's my
takeaway. Well, there is the scene, they go to a hotel and, you know, he starts to fall ill again. It's like, Mom, I need food. He's calling it.
So before they go into that hotel room, this pimp is like treating his hookers very nasty.
Oh, there's this the big burly guy who's just a total asshole.
Like he's roughing up,
hitting girls,
and he's just horrible.
Yes, and so you know, you see Andy Magic kind of like thinking about it, and then like, she goes to seduce the guy, and you're like, okay,
to bring him
we
back.
Know what's happening.
Which
here.
I was totally like, this is a good scene.
I mean, and you could tell she's made a conscious decision that she's like, well, it's almost like in terms like Dexter, it's like, well, if I'm going to kill someone, at least make it a bad person.
Right.
And
you know, I was like, okay, like she's justifying it. And you know, as an audience member, you're like, okay.
I mean, yes, of course, this guy was awful, not condoning murdering awful people.
Right.
But
so then,
if you're going to have to have your son eat someone, at least make it a really
angry pimp.
So then
she's like, you get naked first. And here's where Matt becomes a big perv. You kind of see his...
You almost see dick in this. Like, he's this burly guy, and he, like, drops his pants, and you definitely see pubes. I
Gross.
Love, by the way, that Tim was too embarrassed to say that. That's why he stopped
I
before
didn't.
Saying it.
But I was
Tim
more than
still
happy for 10 you
years
to pause
old.
It. I was like, if you want to pause it, fine.
Well, yeah, I know. It was so tough, too. I mean, it wasn't even that I found the guy attractive. I was just like, did we just see that? Like, it was
see something.
I feel bad for Andy Matichek, who had to stand in front of that guy while he's probably just hanging loose in front of her.
Right.
Obviously,
acting.
I'm sure the guy's a nice guy, but he's playing such a horrible, abusive guy. That
so then, like, her son starts creeping around the corner, like, oh my God, you finally have food here.
Yes, and jumps on the guy, the burly guy, and just starts, like, chomping him apart.
Which I was actually shocked, because I was like, this huge guy could take out this little kid.
You would think, but I think it's like the Chucky movies. Like, once they get a swipe in on you,
you're
not, well, you can't even defend yourself. Like, yes, if the burly guy had the first move on the kid, of course, but when you're being chomped
That's
to death,
true. And I think he was not expecting to get eaten by a young cannibal kid.
He was expecting to have sex with Laurie Strode's granddaughter.
Right, and that did not happen, thank God, because I don't need to see that.
Yes. Well, at that point, they, of course, leave there. And you're wondering, like, is this going to continue? Is she going to just keep, like, getting food for her son? Well, she finally takes him to where the cult, I think, was,
the
right?
Church. The church. Oh, well, we need to back up just a pinch. She takes that huge pimp and takes all his body parts, puts them in a bag, and then I just thought that was really – I haven't seen a body part – like, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen that in a movie.
What did she
it was
do
like,
with it?
It wasn't CGI. She put him in a trash bag and then
dumped it.
So I was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Again, the lengths you go for your children.
That's true.
Well, she is going to go back. And at this point, she's been having visions of, like, the cult and her father, like, holding her down while some sort of demon comes up. And it's implied, I thought, that this demon raped her.
Very
and that's
Rosemary's
how she became
baby.
Pregnant. Exactly. Very Rosemary's
after
Baby.
After that scene, she goes to talk to a cult member that was a friend, and he looks completely drugged out of his mind.
Yeah, and he's messed up. And I feel like I just want to kind of fast forward to the end of
that's
this because
fine.
It's just like, it's like there's so much random stuff. But she goes back to this church because she is going to either... She's trying to get, I think, the demon to release her son from this, like, I don't know, whatever his hold is or whatever is making him need to, you know, eat people.
Right.
And she's there and she's, like, trying to do some sort of, what was it, like a seance or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it was kind
of
like what they used to do with Chucky's Dewey Dambala.
Yes, she's
like,
trying.
She had a lot of, like, she had all that, like, good, and, like, devil jargon.
And in her mind, she's seeing the demon approaching her. And you're thinking, oh, I guess this is all real. Well, right at that point, Emil Hirsch and the other cops, like, come up there. And this was very The Omen. Did you notice
yeah,
that?
Loved
like,
it.
They have guns pointed at her because Andy Matichek.
She's having a knife.
Well, Andy, while she's doing this whole thing, she has a knife held up to her son.
And I was
she,
like, do it.
No. Well, she basically tells her, the cops, if she can't, like, release her son from whatever this, like, spell is, she's going to kill him. Now, note to Andy Matichek, don't tell the cops you're about to kill someone. because they're going to kill you.
Right. And I love. Guess
yeah,
what happens?
Yeah. Well, then, of course, and again, it's like in The Omen when, you know, Gregory Peck is about to stab his son and then the cop shoots him. She realizes she's going to kill her son because she doesn't want him to have to live like this. And they shoot Annie Matichuk like in the head.
In the eyeball.
Oh, yes. It's
it was
like
very graphic. I was like, ooh.
Gruesome shot, of course, which means the kid is still alive to be his little demon self. And you're like, at this point, because you know that Andy Matichuk wasn't crazy.
Yeah,
because
they there was throughout the entire movie, I was like, oh, is she crazy or is this really happening? Like,
and,
what
and
are we getting?
The cops don't see this demon thing, but and so that part was a little like, do only people part of the cult see it? But either way, the kid has been eating people. Like, that's
yeah,
true.
That's true story.
Well, there's one more little button ending, little twist. Emil Hirsch is visiting the kid in the hospital, and you think he's just being like a nice, like, you know, friend because now his mother has died. But
so
no.
He's huffing and puffing and getting all like hungry, and so he takes out a knife and cuts his arm and he drips blood into his mouth,
but
he doesn't just drip blood,
but basically showing that Emil Hirsch was part of this cult,
part
the
of the cult
time.
And keeping that little devil alive.
Exactly. And yeah, and again, and he's not even the parent, but he's willing to cut his arm.
It
like
was
Tim
so
said
gross.
And it's not like a little prick,
it was like he cut off
I
like,
just said little prick
I know, son.
It's not just a little prick. He just like cuts his arm open to feed this little kid, and it's like, I'm going to protect you.
But then
don't worry.
He takes the skin off and drops it in. Like, it looked like a little chip.
It was gross.
And I got hungry.
And yeah, and my first question was, how did Andy Matichuk not? Are we supposed to think like Emil Hirsch was probably like a newer member of the cult, so she had already escaped? Because I was like, how did she not know he was part of that cult?
Well, because she you know, she doesn't know. She'd been
gone.
He could have been a new member like 3 days ago.
Yeah. Well, apparently he now
I
is
mean,
gonna
I joined.
Care. He's are you gonna feed the son?
Yes.
I mean, the thing is, so overall, what did you think of this, Tim?
It was no wrong turn, but I still was, you know, it was so gross and nasty and sleazy that it kept my interest.
You're like, just like I like my men, nasty
no.
and sleazy.
No, but
sleazy.
I mean, like, it was gross that the thing is like, I think I had no expectations, so the fact that I could follow the story.
You're like, I could follow the stories. Okay. Wow, your benchmark is pretty low.
No, but you know me. I'm like, it had all good performances. Everyone was committed. You know, like, it wasn't, I had no clue what the son was, but then now that I just know the son's a devil baby, it was good.
This is what I would say. My girl, Andy Matichuk, was great. I think she's a really great actress, and I know it sounds biased because I love Halloween, but
right.
like, I
what
think
if she was
good.
What if she was just in a Simpsons episode? Would you love her?
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe
okay.
not as much because of I love her being in Halloween, but either way, she did a great performance. I think the kid did a great job. I mean, because he had to go back and forth between being this like weird demon and being a normal kid. Overall, I don't know if the movie, it had some scary scenes. Overall, I don't know if I really liked it that much. I just think, like,
it's not a crowd pleaser. I mean, it's just kind of,
it pulled so many different aspects of so many other movies, from Rosemary's Baby to The Omen to, it just felt like
Little Shop of Horrors.
A melting pot of like a lot of different movies all in one. But the main plot was like this mom's devotion to the son. So it almost felt like the horror part of it came second, if that makes sense. Like,
I don't know.
It's about
gross.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, what is the movie about? It's a mom protecting her son right. in any length, to any length.
Right.
And yes, the son is a demon who is eating people, but like, to me, that was secondary, I guess. And I just, it wasn't as enjoyable as Wrong Turn. Yes, it was better than a lot of stuff out there, but I guess watching it so close to Wrong Turn and Wrong Turn being so good.
Right, you'd like to see these horrible people get their comeuppance. And like, there's something about like, you don't want to see a child ever. I just don't like kids in movies.
I don't think you like kids in general.
Okay, true.
No, but I mean, you can rent something. Like, I mean, I wouldn't not recommend it. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's the kind of, I really want to watch a horror movie. Which one should I get? Let's get Son.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be my go-to. Watch Child's Play.
I highly, highly recommend Wrong Turn for horror people.
Son,
and
if you got time.
Son, if you love Andy Matichuk and
Emil Hirsch.
And if you like some more like gory, you know, demon Rosemary Baby omen eating flesh type of movies, and it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm that kind of is that it is. But I mean, all in all, it was two pretty entertaining movies.
That's right.
Right.
I recommend both, and bon appetit, bitch.
Well, and I recommend one and a half of the other one, and welcome to, what did I say, not prime time? Welcome to prom time, bitch.
That's
my
right.
new line.
Call back to prom.
Welcome to prom time, bitch. Anyway.
Starring Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman.
You said
so.
That.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to another episode of Happy Horror Time.
Happy Horror Time.
Thank you for listening to Happy Horror Time. Again, we are unpolished and unscripted. We don't even get our names right.
That's right. Bye, Tim.
I'm Matt. Bye, Tim. Bye, everyone.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many other platforms.
If you'd like to stay updated, please like and follow the Happy Horror Time podcast page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
If you want to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your movie recommendations, or if you know any horror stars you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast and gain access to our bonus episodes, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime and sign up to be a patron. We try to release at least one bonus episode per month and really appreciate your support.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert.
And thanks again for listening to
Happy Horror Time.